As you're finding your seat, if you will turn to Luke chapter 15. We'll read a few verses from there in just a moment. If you'll pray with me one more time. Now, Father God, as we turn to your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Now would you open our ears so that we might hear what it is you want us to hear, and so that you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone in here ever been lost? Yeah. And if you've been lost, do you remember what it's like to be found? I was 16, driving home from my family's ranch back into my house in suburb of Dallas. It was a 3-hour drive that was going to take me near the heart of downtown Dallas, and that was the problem. I hit this spot that was a mixed master of sorts with like 20 highways all deciding to converge in one spot at one time. I don't know why they do that. I panicked, my 16-year-old self, and I just randomly chose a road, went across 3 lanes of traffic, cut a poor little lady off. She gave me a kind little gesture, and I made my way down the wrong highway. After a few miles, I realized I didn't recognize anything, and we made this trek almost every weekend. I panicked. I took an exit, went to the nearest gas station, locked all the doors, and called my dad. Because what do you do when you're lost but call your dad? Hello? Dad, I said I was driving home and I began to panic, talking 90 miles an hour. There was like 20 signs and then there was cars everywhere and I just tried to pick one and I ran a lady off the road and she flipped me off and the drivers all hate me and I'm sitting in a gas station and I'm lost. He said, well, what highway were you on? I don't know. That's why I'm lost. Which exit did you take? The first one. I don't know. Help me, I'm lost. So you could be anywhere in Dallas, Texas. Yes, help me. He asked me to name the street signs that I could see from the parked gas station, and I named a couple, and he pulled out his old school Dallas map and began to go over it inch by inch until he found the streets that I was on. He said, I found you. And I'll never forget those words. And stay on the phone and I will get you to where you need to go. It felt good to be found. Have you ever been there? We spent the last 4 weeks remembering who we are in Christ. Because we believe that when we really know who we are, it absolutely changes everything. Today's truth, we are found. That's what Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 7 this morning. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The sheep in this parable is in the good care of a good shepherd. He's got nothing to worry about. The shepherd will feed it. The shepherd will water it, will protect it. By all means, the sheep has it made. One morning, one by one, the sheep enter the pen. And the shepherd counts each head, knowing each and every one. They're all his own. And at the end of the count, he's at 99. Most shepherds would say, good enough. When I was in school, 99 was always more than good enough. He still had plenty to make a profit with. A reasonable shepherd would just get on with life, get on with what he had. But you see, nothing about this shepherd has ever been reasonable. Nothing. He's extravagant, renegade, passionate to a fault. The shepherd's unable to turn his back on even a one. So what does he do? But he grabs his staff and he fastens his sandals and he's off, determined to find that missing sheep. And yes, he knows exactly which one he's looking for. That's just the kind of shepherd that he is. The question this morning, I want to sit in for a little while. Why did the sheep take off? Why does it go and hide? From the story, we don't really know. But if we know, Jesus' stories are actually really our stories. Well, then we know why we run and why we hide. We know. Some of us hide from this good shepherd God. Because if we're honest, we don't really know what to think about him. If you're here this morning and you're not totally in love with the living God, I honestly believe it's because you have not yet been properly introduced to him. Because if you knew him, if you really knew the God that I know, I guarantee you, you'd be crazy about him. If you knew the God who isn't just looking for the next way to test you and punish you when you fail, if you knew the God who isn't mad at you and isn't embarrassed by you, if you knew the God who weeps when you weep, if you knew the God who chooses not to be far off but near, so near that he moved into our neighborhood, so near that he still says he actually wants to make his home with us and with you, if you knew the God who keeps no record of wrongs, who's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, if you knew the God who forgives 70 times 7 million times, if you knew the God who created you only because he wants to love you, if you knew the God who adores you, who delights in your smile, if you knew the God who rejoices when you rejoice, if you knew the God who believes in you more than you believe in yourself, if you knew the God who has a purpose for you bigger than you would ever even dream for yourself, if you knew the God who never gives up on you, who never cuts you off, who never turns his back on you, who never wipes his hands of you, if you knew the God who's crazy about you, crazy enough about you to die for you. Crazy enough about you to want to work with you. Crazy enough to take a chance on you. If you knew that God, you wouldn't hide from him for a second. He'd find you first, but you would let yourself be found. You see, I fear some hide from God just because you've never been properly introduced to God. And if that's you this morning, might I have the incredible privilege of introducing you to him today? My friends, meet your Father, who would give anything for you, who's actually already given everything for you. I wonder if that sheep took off because he didn't really know the good shepherd. Somehow he got this idea that that shepherd wouldn't really take care of him, that shepherd wasn't really all that good. Maybe he thought that life was better without the shepherd, where he could eat in whatever pasture he wanted to eat in. The shepherd had too many ideas that weren't the sheep's ideas, and maybe he just got fed up saying, you know, that shepherd is just too controlling, just a micromanager. That shepherd just wants to use me to make a buck for his own self. Perhaps that shepherd was convinced, that sheep was convinced that shepherd couldn't love him. There was 100 others. Who has the kind of love like that to share? And so off he goes to live his own life, his own way, to find love on his own terms. How long do you think it took this sheep to realize that real life and real freedom and real love is absolutely impossible without the shepherd? It wouldn't have taken long. So hiding out in that valley all alone, doing life his own way, the sheep hears his voice. Come out. Come out. Wherever you are, why do you hide from me? I've found you. Come out, come out. Know that I'm good. Be found and live with me. Come out, come out. Maybe the sheep was hiding for a different reason. Maybe she knew good and well who the shepherd was, but it was all those other sheep that she'd had enough with. They'd hurt her. Some were supposed to be friends, and they left her for the wolves. Some she had really loved well, and they were taken from her too soon. And some she hadn't loved well at all, and she carried such regret for her failure to be kind. Heartache, regrets, rejection. Life in the herd can be brutal. And at some point, she'd had enough. Others could not be trusted with her heart. They'd just hurt her again, she told herself. And so she hid, not in another pasture, but right in the middle of the herd. What she did, she shut herself off, quit telling others her dreams, quit asking them to share theirs. When she was breaking on the inside, she learned to turn her back so they wouldn't see her weep. They couldn't be trusted with her tears. And when she had good news to share, she'd keep it inside because no one likes someone who boasts, they'd say. So the sheep clammed up and laid low, resolved to get through this world, holding the world at arm's length, never sticking her neck out too far, never offering his heart to anyone again. The shepherd didn't have to go so far to find this sheep, but his work was cut out for him even still. It's one thing to convince a hiding sheep that the shepherd's heart is good. It's quite another to encourage them to deeply love when the herd you're asking them to love can really stink at loving them back. But our God knows that we're not going to live any other way. So he finds her, her back to the crowd. It must have been one of those moments that she is about to break. Must have been one of those days when he feels the weight of the world on his shoulders and is terrified of looking weak in front of the people who might take advantage of him. The good shepherd walks up behind the sheep, taps him on the shoulder, and says, "Come out, come out, wherever you are. I see you hiding in the crowd. I found you. Come out. Share what's on your heart. Invest in love. Yeah, it's risky. Invest in love anyway. Be found. You were never meant to do this alone. Come out. Live genuinely in community. Give trust and love another try. Come out and be found. Who do you love deeply these days? Who is it? And who do you allow to love you? Who do you take the time to see, to really see? And who do you let see you? Do you live in this community right here? With open hands and an open heart? Or do you hold all of us at arm's length, saying there's not a chance, not a chance I'm going to trust you people with something that might let me down someday? That's one way to do it, but it's not the Jesus way. His way is the way of choosing to know, choosing to love, choosing to invest, choosing to share life, even when it hurts, even when it's risky. And I don't know about you, but I'll choose the Jesus way because I've come to know it's the only way. Come out. Come out. Share your heart in this place. The shepherd has found you and he's brought you back to us. Surprise. Let's live like we've been found with these very people in this very place. We want to know you. Please let us know you. Maybe that sheep was hiding for another reason still. Maybe it didn't have shepherd God issues. Maybe she was okay with others. Maybe the sheep had some personal issues that kept him in hiding. You know, insecurities. Convinced he was always more of a burden than a help, that he wasn't really good at anything of value. God's people have always been really good at running away when they're convinced that they're not enough. Elijah ran to the desert when he heard Queen Jezebel was out to kill him, afraid he didn't have what it took to stand up to such power. The disciples, they took off when Jesus was arrested, sure that they could do nothing to help him. John Mark ditched Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey, convinced that the task was more than he could handle, that he wasn't qualified, that he wasn't enough. God's people were good at hiding in their insecurities then, and truth is, we're still pretty darn good at it now. Insecurity. Do you ever feel it? Do you ever feel it? That stirring of the Spirit somewhere in your heart and your gut that you know is calling you into God's work to be a part of something bigger than yourself, something that you know is going to stretch you and grow you. Do you ever feel it? And as soon as you feel it, do you ever hear it? That voice that says, are you crazy? There is nothing you could do that would be useful in that. Kids won't understand you. Teenagers will not think you're cool. Adults will know you don't know what you're talking about. My gosh, you can't sing. So what's left? Guess you'll have to just bake cookies for the next potluck and call it a deal. You know that voice. It's the one that every time you start to feel passionate about something that has kingdom potential, it tells you, no, 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 quick, hide. Don't let the pastor catch that glimmer in your eye. She'll be on to you. Don't tell a soul you're thinking about helping. They'll make you commit. Ignore the stirring. Drown it out. Hide. If that sheep was hiding in her insecurities, something happened when the shepherd called her by name. Just the fact that he left the others to find her was enough to tell her that she was needed, maybe even wanted. That the Spirit would see to it to stir in your heart, of the 7 billion people in this world. Isn't that enough to tell you that he wants you? With that stirring, what has your God done but gone out of his way to find you and to call you and to tell you, of all the people in this universe, there's something I want to do just with you.
Amen.
Knowing that she was needed, knowing that he was wanted, that sheep stepped out from the insecurities he hid behind, and he began to live as one who was found. Might we do the same? When's the last time you were passionate about something? Get passionate, you guys. This is the living God making his way on earth. Then again, the personal issue could be complacency. Maybe that sheep honestly just didn't really care what the shepherd dreamed of doing with him or with them. Maybe that sheep was just content to stay in one place, hang out with one group, No care if it grew or not. No care where the shepherd went or didn't go. The sheep was content just living life day by day. Minutes, hours, weeks pass. Couldn't be bothered too long for anything more than survival. That was enough. No desire at all for a life of adventure with the living God. This is the sheep C.S. Lewis had in mind when he said this. It would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Sheep that hide in complacency. Too easily content to settle for a life of just getting by. Hiding from that nudge that shakes up the routine and that rocks the comfort zone. A bunch of sheep hiding out in numbness, not giving a care, while the God of the universe moves about making his great name known, setting captives free, seeing justice roll down like a river, seeing widows and orphans being cared for, the homeless finding homes, foreigners becoming friends, seeing to it that the dying live, and the weary find rest, and the desperate find hope, and those in despair know joy. Our God is moving mountains, and he is throwing them into the sea, and all he's doing is asking his people to care enough to join him, to cast the mud pies aside and head to the beach, to shake off the complacency and put on a heart of holy passion with the fire in our bones. So many of the sheep hide in the numbness, seeing a community in need and closing our eyes so we might not be called into action. And the good shepherd comes, and he finds us busying ourselves with cookie making. And he says, come out. Come out wherever you are. I've already found you. And I know your fear of shaking things up. But I also know your potential to live a great big old life with me. So let's get on with it, shall we? Come out. Come out. Get passionate and share your fire with a community absolutely dying to know they have a Savior who's got something for them, and it is something grand, something that changes everything. Come out. Come out of complacency and give a care and live as one who is found. Live. What is this wild shepherd God stirring up in your heart today? What is it? Will you come out and join him? Insecurities and complacencies, toss them to the wind. We don't have time for that. You who have been found, let's live like it together. And not to miss the most beautiful part of the story. Notice who loves the fact that you're found even more than you do. The shepherd. That's our sweet, sweet Jesus. He finds that sheep that's hiding for whatever reason. And he stops in his tracks, rejoicing. The shepherd grabs that sheep up in his arms. He's not mad at it. He throws it over his shoulders, holds it as closely as he can, sure that he's never going to let it get out of his sight again. And he rushes back as fast as he can to tell everyone he can, I've found him, my sheep, the one that I've been searching for, calling his name day and night. I found him. My sheep, the one that I walked through thorns and thistles for, the one that I climbed up on a tree and gave my last breath for. I found her. It wasn't in vain. I found her. She came out of hiding, and she knew that I had seen her. She came out. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. You see, just as much as we love to be found, we've got this crazy shepherd God who gets an absolute kick out of finding. Don't you just love this God, you guys? Don't you just love him? Don't you just love him? In conclusion, a story again from my favorite preacher, Fred Craddock. A story about hide and go seek. He says, my sister and I used to play hide and seek in the summertime. One time she was it, and I hid under the steps of our house. I could scrunch all the way up under there where my sister couldn't see me, but I could see her. I peeked through a crack, and I watched her walking around, looking at the barn, walking up and down the path. She looked behind the bushes. I saw her walk around the house. She couldn't find me, and I began to think, I found the perfect spot. She'll never find me. She'll never find me. A couple minutes went by. Said all of a sudden I realized, she'll never find me. So I stuck my toe out just far enough for her to see. And when she got to the top of the path, I wiggled it. She said, 1, 2, 3 on Freddy, and I came out from the steps pretending to be disappointed. Oh, shucks, I said, you've found me. He acted disappointed. But what did he want? What did he really want? Turns out the same thing you do. Come out. Come out. You've been found. Meet the one who finds you. Come out. Come out. Wherever you are, for whatever many reasons you're there, come out. He sees you. Come out. Come out and live. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we are that 100th sheep. Thank you that you would and that you did drop everything to let us know that we've been found. And we're not found because we walked towards you at the right time in the right place. We're found because you found us right where we were. For all the reasons we were hiding from you, hiding from each other, hiding from the needs of this world, you found us right there. And you invited us to come out and live as the found. Thank you. We hear your invitation again this morning. And as we come to your table, we remember that you went to such lengths to find us that you actually came to us. Your body broken, your blood poured out to find us. And we come to your table and we pass the trays to one another. And in so doing, we offer our hearts to you and to this community. And as we take of your cup, we remember that you told us to proclaim your resurrection till you come again. So we do so as a found people, willing to love our world like you do. May that all be the case in these moments as we take and we eat and we drink and we give you our lives once again. Thank you that you find us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.